How's everybody doing today?
Pretty good, brother.
Thank you. Anyway, I've been around for a long time. Not a long time, but well, at least 65 years. Well, almost 65 years now, okay, all right? So, I mean, that's fine. If you tell that to a little child, they'll say, oh, wow, you're old, yeah? Anyway, in all those years, though, okay, God's the one that's kept me sustained, okay? Even when I didn't know him, he sustained me. Even when I had no idea who the Lord was, and I was sinning, and I was doing all kinds of stuff, he sustained me. You know, I didn't die in my sins, okay? Out of his mercy and grace, I'm here right now talking to you, okay? But the funny thing is that God's using some of the stuff from my past to reach others now. And that's how he works. A lot of the stuff that I used to do that I'm ashamed of now, okay, he's actually using that stuff to reach other people who are in the same thing. And they ask questions, and I tell them, hey, it's only because of Jesus I'm still here. It's only because of Jesus that I can tell you, I can talk to you, I had that freedom. You know, what I did, okay, yes, I am ashamed. I was sinning. I was a sinner. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Okay, we're all sinners, but God died for the sin of the world. Okay, and this is why he died on the cross, because of this very reason right now that I'm talking to you, okay, to reach out to people just like you, okay, I'm talking, not to you, but I'm talking to, you know, figuratively, the God puts together different parts of your life, by the way, and uses that, okay, to reach others where maybe I couldn't have never reached that person or never talked to that person before. Now all of a sudden we have some common ground, and God uses common ground to reach people. What's he say if a certain person, what does he say? If somebody's into something, he makes you that. I can't think of the verse right now. But he uses the things, by the way. Okay? Like if people don't like to eat meat, okay, you kind of adapt to that. If people, you know, you adapt to whatever you're talking about. Yeah, exactly. There you go. And it's amazing, okay, how the doors that open up. The doors that open up would not normally open up. God uses, I met a lot of people even this week right here that I was talking to that I thought I would never be able to talk to. I was fishing yesterday. 2 hours. I took 2 hours to go fishing. I wanted to go fishing. I hid behind a wall in the weeds, okay, behind a big wall. Nobody could find me. Nobody could even see me. All of a sudden, I heard a voice behind me. Oh, yeah, I got a favorite fishing spot, too. And he starts talking to me all over the place, you know. And we just started talking, you know, because we were both fishermen, you know. And we talked for a while. I couldn't believe it. You know, and I thought, God can use you even behind a wall. How do you behind a wall? He could use you to reach somebody, maybe, you know? So I just want to encourage everybody, okay, all right? You know? All right? Yes, we do all have a past here. Some of us have not too bad past, like Paul, but some of us have notorious past, like me, you know, and Steve. but God can use anything. Okay, hey, God used the Paul of the New Testament, okay? He had a notorious past, too. He thought he was like, oh, yeah, I'm on fire for God, you know, by killing these Christians, I'm doing God's work, you know? But God, he knew that after a while what he was doing. He got convicted and was able to reach the same people that he was killing. Isn't that amazing? He was able to reach people that he used to kill and torture and put to jail. So God can use you for anything, for anybody, okay? As long as we're willing, as long as we have faith, and as long as we're willing to do his will, God will use us. That's all I want to say.
Amen.
Okay.
Thank you,
Everything on my phone. You know, I figured it's I feel called to be up here today just to kind of continue the theme that we had this morning about, you know, how we are all to come together. And this one quote comes to mind. It says, "In the work of the Christian ministry, truly we enter into each other's labors." It was written by a guy named Ralph Gower. There was a book that he wrote about Bible customs and things. And this was just in the foreword of the book. It has really nothing else to do with the book, but that quote hit home to me. And you think about the truth of that, especially when you think about we come to church together, we hear different people preach, we watch videos online about other people, read other books, and we get involved with different outreaches and different things like that, and a fellowship. And we do. We really do enter into each other's labors. And it goes back to 1 Peter, like in 2:5. You know, "You yourselves are like living stones being built up in a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." And it also reminds me of Jonathan and David and how the relationship is. Like in the 2 Samuel, it talks about their souls being knit together as one soul. Even though they're two different people, two different things, they share that. And like the phrase about the souls being knit together is really... was really hit me about that verse back then. And this goes back to a blog article I wrote myself years ago. It says, "Many of us look to Revelation 7:9 as support for heaven being a place of diversity." You know, and in 7:9 it says, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands." Yet, J.C. Ryle in 1870 wrote in his article, "Shall We Know One Another in Heaven?" He reminds us, "Heaven, we must always remember, is not a place where all sorts and kinds of people will go as a matter of course. The inhabitants of heaven are not such a discordant, heterogeneous rabble as some men seem to suppose. Heaven, it cannot be too often remembered, is a prepared place for a prepared people. The dwellers in heaven will be all of one heart and mind, all of one faith and one character. They will be ready for mutual recognition." And he questions us in his article there, but are we ready for heaven? Shall we yet ourselves get to heaven? And he makes the following statements in order to arouse and wake our sleepy minds to attention. "I pity that man who never thinks about heaven. Cold and unfeeling must that heart be, which never gives a thought to that dwelling place. Dull and earthly must that mind be, which never considers heaven. The man who is about to set sail for Australia or New Zealand as a settler is naturally anxious to know something about its future home, its climate, employments, its inhabitants, its ways and customs. All these are subjects of deep interest to him. In that same way, you are leaving the land of your nativity, and you are going to spend the rest of your life in a new world. It would be strange indeed if you did not desire information about your new abode. Now, surely, if we hope to dwell forever in that better country, even a heavenly one, then we ought to seek all the knowledge we can get about it before we ourselves go to our eternal home. We should try to become well acquainted with it." And that was something that I think here it's hard for us to think about heaven because there's only a number of verses that talk about it. There's not like a big for dummies kind of book written about all the things in heaven and the angels and all the things that are there. But there's a lot that's left. And when we're caught up here in this day and age, we get caught up with all the things in the world, and it's more real to us. You know, and so I think sometimes it's these worldly things that really take our attention, take our worry, take everything from us, and we kind of realize all this is meant to point us back to Him. It's all meant to point us to a future. And if there's something here that we're really miserable about, it's supposed to help us want that more. But a lot of times it's like we don't want that more because we don't even think about that. We're all caught up and we're still focused on what's right here, right now, because that's, you know, bird in the hand's better than two in the bush, you know? That it robs us of what our true focus should be. But, you know, here, just being here with you and working together with you and doing what there, we're there as one. We're there as Christ. We're being knit into him. How can you be that? Like when you think about the fire, the spiritual fire, the burning bush of the Old Testament, you know, if we're in Christ and Christ is in us, it's like we're that burning bush that's not being consumed, just like that bush is. And if we're going out into the world, you know, I think there was a story, I think, was it the foxtails being tied together? That might have been Samson too, where he lit that up and he let them go and it burned down that whole community. In essence, we as disciples, if we're talking about being contagious Christian, you know, going out there and living this life for Christ, it's like we're like those foxtails that are lit on fire, spreading God's fire everywhere. And that's going to have an impact. Things are going to burn. You know, some things are going to be turned to chaff and blow away. Other things are going to come out of that, being forged by that very fire. And that's what we should look for, the things that are coming out of that fire, and not be afraid of what's burning down. You know, and that's where my heart is right now. It's like, Lord, let's that happen. Let's go there. Let's burn this place down. Let it all blow away. Let's see what's remaining, because that's what you want.